We want to thank Factor for sponsoring Play Retro. Factor delivers delicious, fresh, never frozen meals that are ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use the code retro50 to get 50% off your first box.
A hangover is never pretty, but a squirrel with a hangover, that's just obscene. Conker's bad for a day. Rated M for mature.
Oh, man.
M for mature.
For mature. M for much mature.
Too bad there's none of us here.
Nope. You'll get no maturity here. I'm Scott Johnson, by the way, one of the co-hosts of this here show called Play Retro. And I always think Nintendo when thinking about dirty innuendos and dirty talk from a small, stupid squirrel. You'd think they really were worried about that blood in Mortal Kombat. You know what? That was just a distraction. Conker is how they finally destroy our children.
Oh, is that what they were doing?
Yeah.
Mission accomplished, Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I think the early 3D low-poly sunflower with the huge chest balloons is flirting with me. No. She's just talking to the drunk squirrel behind me. Oh, no. Oh, must avert eyes from cute little fluffy tail bouncing up and down, up and down, up and... Oh, it's just too adulty. Okay, maybe just another little peek. Oh, my.
Did you see? So I played only a portion of it, but the commercial that came from, it's like legit. I'm shocked it aired. I can't believe it was adult-y? On TV. Yeah, it's adult as hell. Yeah.
Like we were going through a weird phase here in the gaming industry in, you know, the late 90s or the early 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah, very early 2000s. So the thing about it, though, is it's not the game. They show this girl in a hotel room slinking around and stretching all over the place in her tiny, tiny little panties. And she's going.
See the commercial. Did you play the commercial? I just heard the audio.
Yeah. So I didn't play it for the audience, but I played the audio for the commercial. And the whole first part of it is her going, "Oh, I met him at a thing," and bam, 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 talking about all this debauchery. The hotel room they're in is disgusting. It's covered in booze and looks like drug paraphernalia and whatever.
Oh my god!
And you hear this puking, farting, squirt sounds that are just the squirrel in the other room trying to get over his bad fur day. And then they show some gameplay, and then at the end, I can't remember. Oh, and then at the end, she looks like she's scratching his stomach, but you don't know at first because the way the camera's angled, it looks like something else is going on. So then they cut over, and it's like, oh, she's just scratching his stomach. And I went, really, Nintendo? What are you doing?
Right. Nintendo tried to put themselves as far away from this as they could, didn't they, though? But Rare didn't care. That's what Rare does.
Rare don't care.
Mm-hmm.
That was their slogan for a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to talk about Conker and Bad Fur Day, but also other stuff that led up to it. And technically, we've already talked about a game in one of our episodes that featured Conker, that being Diddy Kong Racing. But we're going to talk about that strange little bit of origin story and how we wouldn't know what a dirty little bastard he was until he got his own game. So that's all coming up.
How'd this little dirty squirrel get here?
I don't know. We'll find out.
With his nuts and everything, you know, and innuendos.
In the meantime, I played something this week that I think old school Diablo 1 and 2 fans are going to like. So I want to recommend it because it's modern in that it's a new game. It's still an alpha, too, and it's free. So this is like a no-brainer just to try it out. But it harkens back to so much cool retro goodness that I have to recommend it. So if you like Diablo 1 and 2... and sort of the aesthetic of those, you know, pre-rendered sprite walking, action RPGs. And you like Vampire Survivors and other new games that are a little bit like that newish game came out last year, Vampire Survivors. If you like that gameplay, well, that's what they've done. There's this game called Halls of Torment, and it's those things mushed
Halls
together.
Halls of Torment.
Yes, Halls of Torment. You take basically, although... That art always looks like another M to me, so it looks like Halls of Tonment, but whatever. Or Tonement. Anyway, it's the graphic look of Diablo, I'd even say Diablo 1 more than 2, and kind of that kind of music, when you pick up health potions, that's that bloop sound, you got like money that flops out of stuff, a lot of the creatures are very reminiscent of early Diablo stuff, and it's purposely kind of crusty looking. Like low res.
Oh, yeah.
And it's super fun. It's only an alpha. It's free to play. They got more they're adding down the road. But already, I think this is really freaking fun. So I'm going to recommend it because it's free and it's a blast.
How much is it? Oh, it's free, you said. Okay.
Totally free. Won't cost you a dime. Free. Now, by the time they're done, like this thing will probably go through some period of early access, end up in beta, then in full release. And the full release might be $5 or something.
Right.
I would gladly pay these guys for the final price of the game. No problem.
I'll give them $5 right now.
Yeah. My only complaint is it runs on Steam Deck, but it does not have cloud sharing yet. So there's kind of no point if you're going to go back and forth. But anyway, again, it is called Halls of Torment, available on Steam. Brian, what have you been up to?
When are we going to get to those first real games that are like that? The Diablo 1 and 2. We're going to talk about that.
We really should. Diablo 1 in particular. In fact, Diablo 4 closed beta starts Friday.
Okay. And what?
For like 2 days, you have to pre-order the game, and then they'll let you in early. So you can play that. You can play up to level 20. When the game comes out in June, they'll wipe it, obviously. But they'll also be open beta after this, and everybody can try it at that point. This is just for pre-orders, I believe. Oh, and also if you went to KFC and got a double down, they gave you a beta key access.
If you're still alive, going to KFC and getting your double down.
Yeah. If you ate Satan's sandwich and survived it, you're in. Anyway,
Satan's double butthole.
I think that might be like sometime early June. We should do a Diablo retrospective for sure.
Ooh, so tune in early June, a Diablo retrospective.
Let's do it. Diablo 1, Diablo 2. We'll talk about its origins, where it came, where it is, all that stuff. I think that'll be exciting. Brian, you made a 3D printed Conker. Why did you do this?
I made two of these. It's not just any Conkers. It's the King Conker. That's right. Conker the Squirrel has beaten his nemesis from the N64 game. Conker's Bad Fur Day, and he has taken the crown. And on one side is the one that Audra, my special significant other, painted for me. And then I have on the right-hand side an unpainted resin that has been primed and ready to go. And somebody lucky today in the chat room will be getting their pick, whether they want the one that's painted or if they want to paint their own. But Conker's making out with himself.
He's
the only person he loves. He's a little drunk on milk. What you gonna do?
He does. That was his thing in the game, right? He drinks milk, and it's to him, it's alcoholic.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in Conker about the drinking. But they put milk in there, I think.
She did a really nice job. You're going to have her paint more of your minis?
Yeah, she surprised me for this because this is my birthday week. And I printed this Conker. I said, I really want to paint one of them, I said, for the show. And told her the show was yesterday, which, of course, we ended up having to push. But she was pretty excited. And then I just came home and she was like, here you go. And I was like, what? You painted it.
That looks great. Hats off. Tell her I approve, which means nothing. Yeah. But tell her that.
And if you've never painted any type of small miniature stuff, oh, boy, there are so many people. There are so many people out there right now, probably listening right now, with a shelf full of unpainted miniatures because everybody orders their big bag of miniatures and goes, I'm going to paint some miniatures for my D&D games. I can't wait. And then you get them in, they paint like one or two, and they go,
Dude, it's so much work. I have mad respect for people that have like huge 40K armies and they've hand painted everything.
Yes.
You people, you guys are rock stars. I think you're amazing. I want to be like you, but I don't have that patience. I just don't have it. I wish I did. Like I said,
it's an amazing skill. And man, she's got her light when she has her light and her magnifying glass and everything. She's got the little tiny little the brushes are just so small.
Yeah. Nothing but respect. I just wish it was easier. Yeah. Because that stuff is not easy. It is a ton.
Right. I'm more of an airbrush guy. So I started airbrushing some stuff last night. I like to do the primer stuff, and I can airbrush and make some nice little ready to paint stuff.
I loved airbrushing. You know what that reminds me of? And I actually haven't had this right here. So, Brian, I've never told you this story. I've said this on other shows, maybe. See the screwdriver here?
Is it a Sonic screwdriver?
No, it's just a boring average. Like, what is this? This is a Phillips. One side.
That Phillips?
Anyway, it's one of those ones where the little bit moves over. Here's the story. Back when I was working on, I had a broken compressor for an airbrush in high school.
Yes.
And I was working on it with a very similar screwdriver. And then I got bored later. And here's what happened. I was laying on the floor. It was hot in the middle of summer. AC was broken or whatever. My dad refused to get proper AC. I think our house had a swamp cooler. It sucked. Right, hated that thing. Anyway, so I'm just burning up, laying on the floor. Again, I'm like 15, 16. I'm not the smartest, you know, piece of chalk on the board. And
the sharpest piece of chalk on the board.
And I'm laying down on the carpet, and I take this bit that looks like this.
Oh, my God.
And yeah. I stick it in my nostril.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I slowly let it, I just kind of relax all my muscles, and I let it sink up into my sinuses.
I wonder what this will do.
Yeah. Then it got stuck up in there for a while, and there was almost a moment where we had to go to the ER, but we ended up getting it out. And I still don't.
I love the ramp up to the panic, because that's always how it is when you do stupid shit when you're a kid.
Yep.
It's like, oh, I'm just going to do this. Oh, yeah, it's no big deal. I can get that out. Oh, God, I can't get it out.
No.
What's going
to
happen?
It's a horrible feeling.
They're going to have to cut my nose off. Oh, my God. Oh, I got it out.
Okay. Yeah. Then it comes out. But I swear I don't breathe right through that nostril still.
Oh, hilarious.
Right nostril,
you're kind of like
weird.
That episode of The Simpsons where Homer sticks the crayon in his...
Yeah, except it made him really smart, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't that the deal?
I think it was the deal. I think it made him real smart. I've been watching The Simpsons again, by the way. Totally off topic, but
nothing wrong with that.
Old school.
Binging it is fun. I like watching...
The only way, unless you're going to watch the early season of The Simpsons, if you get into the later seasons, everybody's going, I hate it.
They're wrong, though. Fine. There's plenty of good stuff in there. They're wrong when they say that.
They're not wrong in the fact there is a higher ratio of crap than it used to be. However, if you just Google search really quick, you'll find a top five episodes that people have rated each season. The first three to five episodes are usually pretty good. If you watch the first three, you've got solid Simpsons every season.
I watched last season's entirely, and I loved it all. Right. I don't know what's wrong with everybody. People are insane. I think it's a great time.
You got to do what you got to do. But with the airbrush, I think I need to paint us a – I worked at – I lived at Myrtle Beach for a little while when I was young, and I lived with one of my best friend at the time, and he was an airbrush artist, and he let me play with the airbrush, and I did a little bit of airbrushing myself.
Yeah.
And we used to paint all those neon-colored shirts and stuff, man. I think it's time to do a Play Retro neon shirt once I get my... once I get my airbrush set up.
You should do it,
completed.
Dude. That's great.
Yeah. Old school. I'll paint me and Scott... Like in her like this, Play Retro. You'd be awesome.
You know what I like about Brown? Let's see. Bronwyn in the chat.
What's that?
He made a big admission here, and I'd like to share it.
Uh-oh. Bronwyn, what'd you do, Bronwyn?
He says, okay, call me a hipster, but I stopped watching The Simpsons when they went off the Tracy Ullman show.
Oh, my God.
That's hardcore, dude. Hardcore.
That is hard. That was actually before they got good, so that's awesome. That's really just like, nope, I see where they're going with this.
I'm impressed with what you've done. All right, now this.
Shall we play a game?
We're going to play a game, and that game, well, there's a couple of them, but we're going to talk mostly about this little character from Rare, one of the most revered developers of all time. All right, mm-hmm, passed hands a couple times.
And lovers of Nintendo from the SNES to the N64 era, at least until they got bought up by Microsoft, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The whole era with Nintendo, some of the coolest stuff in the history of games happened during their watch. And I have nothing but love in my heart for most things Rare, including Sea of Thieves, which is currently really rad. That's a very cool game, and that's a Rare software development.
Is it still on the Xbox Game Pass?
Yeah, it's Xbox Game Pass. It'll be on Game Pass forever because they own them now. So,
oh yeah, it's right.
That sure don't ever leave.
It's a fun game.
But you may remember, if you go back in time, you may remember that in 1997, this happened. Might even hear this right now and say, well, wait a minute, that's very familiar. You guys talked about Diddy Kong Racing back in the day, and we did episodes ago.
What episode was that, like 20 episodes ago or so?
Something like that, like half our time ago. And we mentioned it then, but we're going to really get into this today. It was basically kind of like Rare All-Star Racing, they should have called it, even though you know, Diddy Kong was the Nintendo property, but they had all these Rare exclusive characters. And one of them's this Conker character that nobody knew shit about.
Yeah, there were several characters. There was the Conker character, the Banjo-Kazooie. Basically, Nintendo said, hey, the company that we own like 49% of and is like a true second-party developer or whatever.
Yeah.
They said, hey, won't you do something? And they said, okay. And they took everything they had and just anything that was in development.
Yep.
Any assets they could find. and said, let's throw this in here and get some buzz about some of these
characters. Yeah, and don't forget, we're talking about the devs who brought us Banjo-Kazooie, this, Donkey Kong Country, a handful of other things, Conquer games, obviously, but then, GoldenEye. Freaking GoldenEye, man.
Yeah.
Like, Rare was...
If you don't know those two stories we just talked about, the Donkey Kong Country is an amazing story, as well as the GoldenEye, which we did here on the show.
Yeah, we did talk about that. So,
yeah.
So I guess I just think it's important that everybody just remember how revered the children-friendly lineup of all things Rare. Did you print that? Where'd you get that?
I did.
That's
a
logo, the Rare logo. Look at you.
It is. I printed this in my FDM printer there. Earlier, I printed out the, I still got to finish putting in place. I got to glue it down and everything. But yes, nice little Rare logo. I love their logo from this time. It was just so simple and beautiful, and just I thought it was a lot of fun. So a lot of
what do they do now? Do they have a logo now that they use?
I guess it's probably still the same, I would assume. But
look it
I
up.
Don't know.
Let me look it up real quick.
I mean, I've been going back and researching companies that were huge during the retro age. But let's see. That's a good question. What are they doing right now?
They have a website. They're still in the UK. We are Rare, an Xbox Game Studio. We are explorers, creators, magic makers.
Yep.
We forge new paths, blah, blah, blah. That logo is new and different looking a little bit.
It's got that. It looks like they stopped when, remember when we used to emboss everything, the logos embossing for websites and stuff?
Yeah.
It looks like that. So it's like this this gold and blue, but it's got that embossing on it. They went back to Rare instead of, the Rareware thing they were doing there for a while.
Yeah.
They're still there. They're still Rare, right?
Yeah. They're still Rare.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're Rare.
Now they're completely owned by Microsoft
Yes, they are 100% a Microsoft studio now. So
right.
So there's a couple of things going on where they've had to split IPs because the Xbox Game Pass has a somewhat up-resed version of the original GoldenEye, and the Switch also has a version of GoldenEye, and there's some differences between the two. These are recent developments. So you might say, why does one get with the James Bond license, it's weird, and people have certain ownership. So it's not, there's a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo in there, but Rare, for the most part, I don't think they own Conker now. Pretty sure Nintendo owns all that IP. So if Nintendo was ever going to revive this Conker business or Banjo-Kazooie, there's another one. Banjo-Kazooie is actually a Microsoft IP now because they've made Banjo-Kazooie games under the Microsoft name.
Yes.
So I guess I don't know which ones are.
I think from what I saw, I believe, once again, we only had a week, and man, I thought we were taking it easy this week. I was like, hey, we're just going to do Conker's Bad Fur Day. That's going to be real simple. We got a short week. We'll hit it and quit it. No. It was like it just kept the hole kept getting deeper and freaking deeper, and I didn't get to research everything I wanted to, but I do believe Conker is in Microsoft's hands, just like Banjo.
Really?
I believe that is correct.
Okay, if that's true, then everybody begging for years that they would do a return to Conker somehow.
Right.
Maybe that's still possible. I don't know.
The better question is, should we?
Could we
kind of going through from a more we were counterculturing with Conker, because even like this first game we're about to talk about was cutesy.
Yeah.
And we were all our 3D platformers were being pushed by Mario 64, and everybody was just like, okay, we got to cookie cutter this thing, and then we'll figure out how to make it unique later.
Yep.
And they just all cookie cuttered it, made a little bit of different game change plays, but they all kept with the cutesy bits of it. But then things changed.
Yeah, so, keep in mind, if you want to play the cleanest version of Conker, then Diddy Kong Racing is your jam, okay?
But we live in a time now where you can get hentai on the Nintendo Switch. So I don't know if there's any room for counterculture.
Can you? I didn't know that. Is that true? Do they have
For what I read this past week, because that was one of the things people were saying, why can't they bring it out on the Nintendo? And they're like, you've got all kinds of other crazy stuff on there. I got some hentai and everything else. I was like,
yeah.
Like, okay. But that was rumor. That's rumor scuttlebutt, right?
Well, let me look right here. Okay, so I have a list. Would you like to hear the list?
Give me a list. Give me the adultness on the Nintendo Switch.
Here are the 10 best sexy Switch games, according to, what is this website? Rice Digital Gun.co.uk. Here's what they say. A game right. called Gun Gun Pixies.
Oh, I've actually seen that before, I believe.
No idea what that is. It's a 3D platformer of some sort. It's a girl in a dorm. It's all, you know, scantily clad, everything. Here's another one. Morio Crystal H, which sounds like a drug on the street.
That sounds like a porn parody if I ever heard of one. What was it again? Morio
Crystal H.
How did they even get away with that, Morio?
I don't know. It's really weird.
It's a me.
It's a Morio. Morio.
It says here, Morio Crystal H is a game where you can rub Satan's belly until he likes you more.
Oh, my God.
If that's not enough to sell you on this game, then you get this huge soundtrack, big varied cast, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Oh, it also is joyously enthusiastic about its own lewdness, but it backs it up with a sense of fun with rock-solid RPG mechanics. So they actually say it's a good game.
Yeah.
But these people are naked.
By the way, if you haven't, okay, so we do have some listeners who sometimes listen with their kids and that kind of stuff. Just let you know, if you don't know anything about Conker's Bad Fur Day, it's very adultish. So we may be talking about
warning. We're talking about
more
some
adultish themes today. So
just you know, that's warning. Good to know. Poison
Satan's belly.
Here's one called Prison Princess, which is a that's a game. You can play that there.
Yeah. Prison Princess.
Yep.
I saw that in the 70s with all that was on. It was a movie, I think.
Yeah. And Waifu Uncovered is another. These are all games. Waifu. These are all games you can get on the Switch, although Steam has it beat. Steam has, you know, Sex with Hitler and all kinds of weird stuff.
Right. Now, not to say there wasn't a lot of adult content on Nintendo systems. You could get adult content on it, NES, SNES, any of that stuff, but those were all not approved by Nintendo. Those were all black market things. Now they got them actually in the store.
Yeah, now you can just buy them legit-wise, right. Which is a weird thing for Nintendo. Weird. But at the time, Nintendo was so clamped down, I was surprised that what came later with Conker's Bad Fur Day was even allowed. Before you get to that, though, you would have had to hear this on a tiny handheld. Right, wake up, little squirrel. It's time for some high-pitched NES quality sound.
Right, some top-down.
Top-down, what would you call it? What genre are we in? Just adventure?
Yeah, adventure, top-down, adventure, action-adventure, because you could use your slingshot here. A lot of the things they were planning for the first iteration of Conker, which was not going to be Bad Fur Day, by the way, was tied into this little mobile game. Well, it wasn't really mobile game. Handheld game.
Handheld game, sure. There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, you still had set some crossover with the story that was going to be in the full release that was originally going to be for the SNES, I believe, but then ended up on the N64.
Yeah.
But I played a little bit of this, and it's all right. There
it's
was
okay.
two different versions of this. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I played it as well. It's a... what's the word? It's a capable... game of its
one of
kind.
These.
Yeah. I will give it extra points. I think it's one of the more graphically impressive games on the Game Boy Color.
Yes.
Surprise me.
It really is.
More animation than I'm used to, more color depth it felt like. I don't know.
Right.
It just felt like a, you know,
and
I don't know.
Introduced to what we would have gotten, which is I find fascinating. If you've never played this and you're a big fan of Conker's Bad Fur Day, it'd probably be worth a visit to look at Conker's Pocket Tales from 1999. You could have played this on the Game Boy Color or the Game Boy because the cart was dual mode or something similar to that. I'm not sure exact terminology. And there was some difference in the gameplay in the story a little bit, probably because of limitations on the original Game Boy. But I really enjoyed it. It's kind of a good look at Conker and his girlfriend, Barry, in a totally different light because in Bad Fur Day, he's trying to kind of, you know, get back to his girlfriend because he's been drunk and he's trying to, you know, he's trying not to let on that he's smashed and everything else. But
so here, her name, you know, it's Barry, like you go pick some berries, like blueberries.
Right. Okay. And Conker is a form of nut, right? There is a Conker nut. Yep. And that's what the squirrel is named after.
Yeah, plus he conquers things.
That's the thing. Later on, he becomes a conqueror in Bad Fur Day, which I don't think was part of the whole story from the beginning.
No,
but
no,
yeah, like I said, I enjoyed this. You know, you got it. You're the evil acorn. Mm-hmm. He stole your presents. I think either it was for a party. I think it was for the birthday party, and you have to retrieve these presents by exploring a map and avoiding. Things like Venus flytraps that shoot missiles that shoot like fireballs at you, and you have to you got a ground pound where you can like you can double jump and pound down on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this already. It's a slingshot. That's what you're collecting those acorns for.
Yeah, it's an okay game.
The Conkers.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's not. It's actually worth your time if you're going to go emulate it. And don't forget, his girlfriend's name is
Barry.
It's Barry.
Barry. And okay. This one's you can get loose priced. And you'll maybe think later, it's like, well, I don't care about loose price on the Conker's Pocket Tails. Yeah, it's because when you find out how rare Conker's Bad Fur Day is, you'll appreciate the $19.99 price charting price for the loose version of Conker's Pocket Tails.
Yeah, that's a little higher than I expected. I would have thought it would be less. But
yeah, so that's not too bad for a Game Boy Color game that has dual mode where you can play it in either a regular Game Boy or a Game Boy Color. So it is pretty fun. It's good. It's not bad. How about that?
Yeah, it's not a great, like, I can't believe I never played this before. It's the greatest game ever made. We're not saying that, but it's
the most notable thing is the fact that you're playing Conker as a non-Conqueror, what you usually think of. He's still Conker, but he's just, you know, a little more laid back and not maybe a young Conker before he got married and started drinking. I don't know.
That's when we all should look back on those days with less regret.
a young fresh-faced Conker.
Well, speaking of which, let's play a bit of this. This is some dialogue from Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Well, there I am. Conker the King. King of all the land. Who'd have thought that? But how did I come to this, I hear you say? And who were those strange fellows that surround my throne? I hear you also say. Well, it's a long story. Come closer, and I'll tell you. It all started yesterday. And what a day that was.
All right, so there's... Well, whoops, turn that
there
off.
I am.
So repeat it again.
That's Chris Seaver, the guy who eventually took over for Conker's Bad Fur Day. So he voices all the male characters except for one.
Yeah, and it's not great VO. It's pretty bad.
It's but BO.
It's VO. Yeah. It's the BO of VO. You know, not great. You don't want to really smell that guy, but it's there. And you just have to sit on the bus and hope it gets over soon.
At first it was very jarring.
Era. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you were going to say. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, first, it was very jarring for me because I will make a confession. Before playing Conker's Bad Fur Day this week, I had told a couple people that I had played it. They're like, you got to play Conker's Bad Fur Day. I'm like, yeah, I played that. It was okay. And it's like, I don't know. But come to find out, I was totally thinking of Banjo-Kazooie. I wasn't even close.
Well,
I
never played this game. It's a rare 3D third-person platformer, so you're not too far off. Like, there's never a lot of similarities. It. Yeah, so you never did. Idiot. This is the first time?
No, first time for me. Yes.
Played a bit of this back in the day. Don't remember a ton about it. Replayed it here this week some. I didn't get super far, but it's capable 3D platformer. So those guys were known for good 3D platformers in that era for a reason. And it carries over here. I'm not, you know, I'm as 12-year-old as anybody, all right? I can laugh at a dumb poop joke or whatever.
Literally a poop joke. The video you chose to play is Conker throwing toilet paper at the big bad boss, the crap monster.
Basically
the Mr. Big Poo. What's his name?
Forgot the name.
It's something like that. It's like Mr. He's a big pile of poo. Rendered to life in this Rareware 3D game based on a huge poo taken by one of their coworkers at the Rare Studios. It was so impressive that Chris Seaver and crew had to put it in the game.
They were like, man, that was the biggest poo ever. We should immortalize it forever as a boss in a video game. I kind of love that as an origin story. for a
Did
sequence.
You ever see Stimpy's Christmas special, the one with Ren and Stimpy?
Oh yeah,
he has the fart. This is totally from that era. You know, that the whole Christmas special, we were just so jaded during this time period. It's like, okay, so we've had all the goody goodies of holiday specials. It's time to bring out the stink farm.
Yeah. We had a bit, we had a moment there.
Yeah. We had a moment.
Or in this case, a movement. Anyway, as far as game goes, I'm here to say that most of it's just kind of juvenile, the humor and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not, when I say it, you know, I can't really say it doesn't hold up. I can't really say it holds up. I just guess it is what it is. It's just bad, you know, junior high level sort of jokes that make you kind of go, ugh. And I can see why parents were freaking out, because parents always freak out about stuff. It's mostly the press that did it, you know, that got parents freaked out, because it's not really that gross of a game or that, you know, that shocking or whatever.
Right.
I understand not letting your 5-year-old play it, but if you were 12, it's, you know, you were fine.
Yeah, that, I think one of the bigger complainers of this was a lady, where was it, Ohio or something? I read the story as well. She was upset because she bought her son Conker's Bad Fur Day. It was labeled with the mature on it, but she brought it home and he's playing and she's in another room. She hears all this, you know, sex talk, and you know, she gets upset.
Yeah.
And, you know, at 15 years old, there's a variation of how mature your child is. So you definitely want to, if your child is not ready for that stuff, then, you know, certainly be more aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even I'm like blushing at some of this stuff. I'm like, oh my, dirty,
naughty.
But I ended up finding it, once I got past all the crude humor, I was actually having a pretty good time. The game mechanics in some ways were more fun to me than Mario. Now, with that being said, Mario 64 was the first out the gate with the N64. It was the first 3D platformer. And this wasn't released until the same year that the GameCube came out. This came out on the N64. So there was a lot to learn by then. But I found the gaming moment to moment was actually pretty fun.
It's not bad. It's a good one of I think.
Yeah.
You know,
If you can get past, once again, I played this week. I have my Mayflash adapter. If you've never watched me play these N64 games, I usually emulate them on my PC because my Mr. FPGA is not capable of doing that. But I will do it on my PC, and I use what's called a Mayflash N64 adapter. It's a USB adapter that allows me to plug my real N64 controller right into there. And if I had a Rumble Pack, which I would have appreciated some, because this does make use of the Rumble Pack, I got to have a good experience the first night I played this past week. I didn't have too good of time because I was using my Xbox Series controller.
Yeah.
And it's a great controller. But something about the way this game was well thought out, with how it works with this single thumbstick on this deal, with the C buttons that work as like a right stick. And it just, it was more playable than Mario 64. If that makes sense.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing people said about Donkey Kong Country, or not Donkey Kong Country. What was the new one? Was it DK6? Oh. Just Donkey Kong 64, I guess.
Right.
Yes. That and Banjo-Kazooie, they had this moment where up till then, the gold standard is Mario 64, changed everything. And it's true. It did. It changed the way we thought of platformers and 3D environments and open worlds. And I mean, it was truly remarkable at the time. But these guys very quickly, in the shadow of that, made games that were better at what that was trying to do mechanically, I think, and helped push the genre even further. So they deserve all the credit for that. I think Rare owns that, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, Rare was a great place to, from what I've read, the stories I've read, it's a pretty great place to work if you wanted to have complete creative control for the most part. They were pretty much, it seems like every interview I've read is like, oh, I was working on Team A, and, you know, I had interest in Team B, and, you know, and there was competition,
right?
But not like super unfriendly competition,
right?
Because we wouldn't have the Conker's Bad Fur Day, which we're talking about today, which stands out, if we hadn't had Banjo-Kazooie, because Banjo-Kazooie pretty much stole the thunder from Conker, because they were being developed. Conker started first, but it was going in one direction. Banjo-Kazooie, which we'll have a complete episode eventually on, was still in its RPG dreams state, which was a totally different game, and they hadn't moved over to Banjo-Kazooie.
Right.
And so, but all of a sudden, Banjo-Kazooie looked over and said, look at what they're doing over here in Conker's. We really like this vibe. They took that vibe, and then at one of the E3 shows, people came out and they looked. They said, hey, Conker just looks like more Banjo-Kazooie, because Banjo-Kazooie at this point in time had more, you know, was doing better. So Conker went to the side until they came up with a good idea and said, Rare's really good about this too. I talked about it a little bit earlier that they use all the assets they have. So if they have something they want to do, they don't like reinvent the wheel necessarily. They may go back and go, ooh, we got these models, these character models. We don't have to create whole brand new character models. We'll just fit it inside this narrative and we'll make some fun gameplay.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot about Rare this past week, and I was totally impressed.
Oh, Rare's great, dude.
It's sad that I couldn't have worked at a place like that growing up. I would be like, oh, that'd been freaking amazing.
Oh, I know. Are you kidding me? That'd be amazing. Hey, you guys hungry? Kind of hungry. Guess what I'm hungry for? Factor Meals. Oh, man. I love these guys so much. I'm not kidding either. Power up for springtime. It's coming. And do it with Factor. They're America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. Get delicious and nutritious chef-prepared meals delivered straight to your door, leaving you time and energy to tackle everything else on your to-do list. Because if your list is like mine, it's too much, right? Well, let Factor help you. You can enjoy hassle-free clean eating through Factor. Choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered straight to your door, ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use the code retro50 to get 50% off your first box. Everything I've gotten from Factor was awesome. The convenience is one thing, right? But sometimes you trade convenience for quality. That isn't happening here. Their food is amazing, and I've enjoyed everything that I've heated up in like 3 minutes. Sometimes as low as 2 minutes. It depends on your microwave. Mine's kind of not reliable. That doesn't matter. Factor always comes out tasting great on the other side. Factor is now actually owned by HelloFresh, so there's something for everybody. Like switching between the brands? Well, now you can enjoy both brands at a discount. Are you too busy to cook? Skip the trip to the grocery store. Skip the chopping, the prepping, the cleaning up, all that. These things are never frozen, always fresh, and ready to eat in 2 minutes. Want to come back or cut back on the takeout? Get Factor instead. Not only is Factor cheaper than takeout, that is 100% true, but meals are ready faster than any kind of restaurant delivery. Again, 2 minutes. Put the time and money you save toward planning activities for when the weather warms up. All right? That's what I want you to do. Head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use the code retro50 to get 50% off your first box. That's code retro50 at factormeals.com/retro50 to get 50% off your order. I'm going to play some audio from stuff just to see how does this stuff sound in 2023. Okay, so here's some dialogue. You get Conk. He's about to talk.
Uh-oh. All
right, so let's go ahead. Okay.
Me. The great mighty Pooh, and I'm going to throw my shit at you. A huge supply of tish comes from my chocolate starfish. How about some scat, you little twat?
Oh, UK humor it is best. That was Chris Marlowe who did that. He does pretty freaking amazing there. That was did the great mighty Pooh. That's
the great and mighty Pooh, yeah.
Yeah, operatic Pooh. That's just because it's so large. It's just, oh.
Yeah.
It's just, it's.
That's now a family favorite.
I won't say
favorite.
It's brilliant.
Play that song around the campfire at home, everybody. And
it is, oh, man, they refer to the starfish. They refer, you know, they just start throwing all this. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been told this would have totally been my jam back in 2001, except for the fact I was just probably just like 2 or 3 years too old for this to hit just right. I wasn't quite, if I had been like 15 or 16, oh my God, this would have destroyed me. I would have loved every second of it. And I saw it plenty of times at the Blockbuster rentals.
You know, it would have felt like real contraband. Like, I'm not allowed to watch this and play this. God. And here I am playing it. But by the time this comes out, you and I are a little older and we're like, I don't know, we're adults anyway.
Right. I'm changing kids' diapers by this point almost. And so, you know, that's not quite as funny. You know, I'm going to college. But I would have really dug this back in the day. And I've picked it up lots of times. I remember picking it up back in the day at the Blockbuster and looking at the cover art and going, oh, you know, because I worked at Blockbuster at the time. And I remember thinking, looking at the graphics on the back and just thinking, oh, this is just one of those 3D platforming games. No, thanks. If they could have sold me a little bit more, or if they could have actually gotten Conker's Bad Fur Day into some more advertising, because you didn't see any advertising in Nintendo Power. That's a shame, because that was a huge marketing tool for Nintendo, but Rare had to publish this thing because Nintendo couldn't touch the big mighty poo, right?
Nope, so they could not.
They didn't get that push. Yeah. The only push they really did have, Nintendo did team up with Playboy this in colleges, Conker's Bad Fur Day. And I find that fascinating, but yeah, you would not have found this in the Nintendo Power. No way. Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. And you're never gonna get, like, you know, I mean, there was a game in what, 05 on the Xbox? Yeah, Conker Live and Reloaded on the Xbox.
Yes.
But that was just a remaster of the original game, right?
That was a remaster of the original N64 version, and you know, it's not a bad way if you can find it. It did include the live functionality. There was multiplayer in the original too.
The models look way better too. Like,
yeah,
that poo creature, the Conker himself, they're way more like rendered. Right. Yeah, they look
good.
This
is only like what, 4 years later, but Rare. Yeah, so that's pretty freaking awesome.
It feels like a thousand years later, doesn't it?
Feels like a thousand years later, but so it was weird. just a minute later.
That's so weird. That's 1 year before this freaking Wii at this point.
Yeah, yeah. It's also weird.
Okay, so just to go back, we're talking about 2001. Although you have written down here Terminator 2 and The Matrix. Those 99 for The Matrix, 98 for Saving Private Ryan, and 92 for Terminator 2.
So the reason why those are posted in there, because I wouldn't forget them. Saving Private Ryan, Terminator 2, and The Matrix all had hilarious. And if you don't do anything but just go watch the cutscenes, those movies are all parodied. This game in segments. Matter of fact, the first thing you do is a Terminator 2 type fight where you have to fight. Basically the Terminator, and what is he exactly? He's a big giant jumping springy thing with a big giant button on the back of him.
Yeah.
And you got to do it with the pitchfork. You don't actually do it. You jump on the pitchfork and you use him. Well, that sounds wrong now that I'm trying to say it. Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Bringing you into that place. I get it.
Right. Yeah. Right. But, if you didn't, the Saving Private Ryan scenes are freaking phenomenal. And that actually leads into some of the multiplayer stuff where you've got to fight against these bears. Do you know what the story is behind Conker? Like what your in-game story is?
No. Well, other than the game starts out with you as the king and all these people are around you, all these other animals are like your minions now. But you don't. I don't think it. Yeah. I mean, you got to play the game to figure out where it all goes, and I did not finish it.
Right. So basically, Conker has conquered something. He's the king now, and he's recounting his bad fur day. And you're playing this bad fur day. So the current king, who is a large cat, is upset because he spilt his milk, and because his side table didn't have a leg, and then he has this.
Do you want to hear him? I have audio of that guy.
Here. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here he is right here. Check him out.
I have a job for you.
So basically, it's a dude talking, and then they put in a little growly thing in underneath.
I'm assuming it's Chris Seaver because, like I said, he voiced all the male parts. And so I'm assuming that's what happened. But anyway, yeah, the large cat He calls in his minions, and which is, oh, there's so many stereotypes. It's totally hilarious. I won't want to spoil too much of it, but essentially he's missing a leg on one of his tables, and he sends his minion out to get Conker, because the leg that's missing is the height of a red squirrel, a small red squirrel. So that's what he wants the red squirrel for.
Got it.
And he just messes with Conker on the wrong day, and things get topsy-turvy.
And that's his bad fur day.
And that's his bad fur days. There's a kidnapping of his girlfriend. And, you know, you just kind of go from there. But I really enjoyed the environmental puzzles, the collecting. A lot of the things were challenging, but not overly difficult. Usually rewarded with some kind of crazy next part of the story and, you know, some stupid dialogue that's just terrible. But
you know what I would love, though? I would love to go back. I don't think I want to play the N64 one, because me and the N64, we have a complicated relationship.
Right.
Because on the one hand, you provided me with some of my favorite games of all time. Mario 64, Zelda, Ocarina of Time, like some of the, you know, GoldenEye. These are some of my favorite things ever.
Right.
But looking at it, it looks like ass. There's no other way to put it. Only thing that looks worse are PS1 games from the same era. It's just ugly as sin. It was an important required step along the path to get where we are today, but it was an ugly period. It's like VR today. We think VR is like the end all be all. We're 10 years away from where it'll be like all make sense. Right now we're in this N64 era. And so I'm just saying, like, it's hard for me to go back and play that stuff. However, if you say there's an Xbox 360 version of Conker Live and Reloaded remastered, that I think I could go play. That's still close enough where I feel like I wouldn't be looking at, you know.
I think you would enjoy it much more. Plus, the controls are a lot better. And if you don't happen to have a freaking N64 with USB adapters, it'd be very difficult. So, yeah. And plus, if you wanted to play it on the real N64, I'm not sure if you still have your N64 or not. But if you want to play it, the loose price of this game, because they only sold like 500,000 copies. It was probably even less than that. It wasn't a lot in comparison to a lot of other N64 games.
Yeah.
And these things are expensive, even in the loose price. If you have one laying around, hold on to it if you love it. And if not, you know, now
where do they
time.
Go for it? What can someone get for loose?
I think price charting has it listed at just starting at shit value at like $200 or so dollars.
Jeez,
I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you have a crusty ass old one, whether it worked or not, you're going to get $200
right,
for that.
Yeah, I think $172.50 is the low end. That was not too long ago. Cart only tested, so I'm seeing one for $200.
Damn.
Yeah, and if you want the box only, you can get that for $123.
Just the box?
Just the box. You want just the manual? That's about $45. Complete price is about $300. So, you know, you might as well spend the extra $100 if you're already in for two.
I wonder if my friend who had the game where I borrowed his cartridge, I wonder if he still has it. I could say, hey, you know, if you just need to get rid of that, I got this retro show.
You don't need that, dude.
Yeah, I'll take care of that for you. See if I can make a little cash. That's interesting. It's someone in the chat, and Dice Tomato says that the mechanics that they changed in the Reloaded remake aren't great, and the game is crazy censored. That's interesting.
Oh yeah, I did read that. Some of the things are censored because even just from the because it went from obscure N64 game that was Nintendo was it a weird place too, because they were getting ready to launch their GameCube at this point. Why not? Because they were already thinking that they were starting to, you know, bringing in Mortal Kombat stuff, even though it was toned down violence. They realized that the more mature audiences where they were going towards for at least a little while.
Yeah.
Then lead into the GameCube.
What a strange little moment for them.
Yeah.
For Nintendo.
Very strange.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw the GameCube, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Nintendo's making me a game console? Because up until the N64, I mean, up until the GameCube, I didn't go out and purchase a Nintendo
device. Hi, I'm Louise, and
Sorry, I don't know why that person's talking.
I don't know, but I received Nintendo devices. I had people who had tired of their Nintendo devices and inherited them, but I had never purchased any. And you're looking at O'Connor right now. She's doing that little interview. That's some of the footage of the remaster, right?
Some of it is, and some of it looks like the original, but it's like...
Oh, no, I know what this clip is. This clip is what I was wanting to show you. This is what it was going to be before it turned into Conker's Bad Fur Day. It was just, it was like the Banjo-Kazooie, but with Conker. It was, everything was pretty straight-laced.
Well, here's what people should do. Go look for the Rare Limited channel has this video called Rare Revealed, a rare look at 12 Tales Conker 64. That looks really interesting. I want to check that out.
Yeah, that was the working title, and I kind of skimmed through that as well, and I thought it was, like I said, it would not be on this show today if I went that route.
Yeah.
I just don't think it had legs that way.
I get it. I agree with you. Okay. Along came Banjo-Kazooie, which I think is, well, not after that. Banjo-Kazooie, I think, is the better, it's still a better game. Yeah. I mean, no offense to Conker fans. I think Conker's cool, and it does some stuff right, and obviously made a mark, and now the cartridges are crazy expensive. There's lots of reasons to throw praise in their direction, but Banjo-Kazooie is a better game. It just is.
Absolutely. I think so, too. It's just got all these fun game mechanics. Remember, play Banjo-Kazooie. He's got the Kazooie in his pouch. He allows you to run him, you know, and to fly a little bit, and it's just fun.
Do you guys remember that nuts and bolt chat? I guess I'm asking you the nuts and bolts thing they did on the 360. That was a fantastic Banjo-Kazooie game. If you had never played it, still good. Like it has all the open world sort of platformer business, but you also can build like crazy physics based vehicles, and it didn't sell a ton because I think people are just like, whatever, we know what Banjo-Kazooie is, nothing will beat the original or whatever. That's legitimately, Nuts and Bolts is legitimately like a fantastic little game. You should totally play it.
Agreed.
Also, Conker Live and Reloaded, we mentioned, for the Xbox 360, the remaster of the original game, and apparently it's censored to all hell and back. So
And I'll tell you this, Conker's Bad Fur Day has an excellent soundtrack.
Yeah, it does.
And I'm super sad that I missed out. Robin Beanland, who did the music for this, they recently released, I don't know who released it, but I saw that there was a vinyl, which I'm always looking for. Anytime we do one of these old games, it has a good soundtrack, I always start looking for the vinyl. Yeah. And always the same story. I just missed it, and now they're all sold out. They were $50 originally, and now they're all selling on eBay for $200 and $300. And every time I'm like, dang it, because it always has this amazing fan art, you know, and sweet vinyl. It's just, it makes me sad every time. So I'm just going to start looking for them just ahead of time somehow. I don't know, if go in the future or something, call Bill and Ted.
Oh, yeah, Bill and Ted will help us. Partis. They know what's up.
Yeah.
They're both, Bill and Ted will help us. Those guys are great. Well, anyway, there it is. It's Conker, and there's a lot to see there. So go play it if you can. Also, according to the chat room, it's very hard to emulate, so you may run into trouble there. But if you get the Rare Replay thing, which is still pretty cheap on the Xbox Store, it has pretty much every Rare game ever made that they could do.
Yeah.
And this is one of them, so you can play it there. Yeah.
The N64 has a is a tough one to emulate, period, because the way it was configured and set up. We'll talk about that one day, too. But one last thing about Conker's Bad Fur Day, the cart was one of those few carts that was one of the bigger carts, and the reason why is because it was getting late in life. We were already fighting against other machines with CDs and DVDs, and so they had to make it really big to put all of this dialogue, because, oh, my God, you can go through... I don't know how much dialogue's in this thick game, but there's a lot.
There's a lot of dialogue. Game. More than you'd think for that era.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's just three guys working on the game is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, it's bad, some of it. Although, you know what? This little song, this wasn't bad.
Matt, step over here.
You, a huge supply of Tish.
What is a huge supply of Tish?
Tissue paper. And you started... And you started out with Birdie, who is the weirdest, Birdie the Scarecrow. He's the hardest character to understand. And then something was going on. He was named after one of the other programmers nicknamed Beardy. And there's a whole inside joke about Pepsi Max. I didn't even know that Pepsi Max was a thing in 2001. But prior to that, but it was like Mepsi Pax or something was like this whole inside joke. There's so many inside jokes
I'm glad they got to make the dumb game they wanted to make. You know?
Watch some documentaries on this thing, man. Go to YouTube. Just look up some Conker's Bad Fur Day. If you get a chance to emulate it, it's totally worth at least getting a taste of it, so you'll know what people are talking about. And you know, it's a good time.
Play the Pooh Monster.
Play against the Pooh Monster.
Destroy it.
All right, time to play Guess My Game, which is a thing where we play a little audio for each other and we try to stump each other, and you try to guess what I brought, I try to guess what you brought. I'm going to start today with this one. 1990 is the year.
Right.
All right. That means 90 years has passed since the year 1900.
Right. I'm trying to listen to you right now, but I'm panicking because I just remembered I never wrote down what I played. Okay, go ahead.
Well, you might hear it and wonder. Think about that for a second. A guy that was born in 1900, the turn of the century.
Right, 1900, gotcha.
Was 90 by the time this game came out.
What?
Uh-huh.
Think of that. I wonder if he would have played it. Would he have played it?
No, I don't think so. Maybe he would have. But here it is. Let's see if you can figure it out. The other hint is Sega Genesis version of the game.
Okay.
That's important to note because it is in other places. But anyway, here it is. See if
I can relax a little bit, by the way, now because I figured out what I played.
Okay, good. Fantastic. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay, it's some kind of spring.
Ish, yeah.
Ish, yeah. Oh, weird. Sega Genesis 1990? A 90-year-old guy is playing this.
Well, I don't know about that part. Doesn't matter. Anybody can play it. And you're going to think like platformer or something, but I will tell you as a free hint today that it is not a platformer.
It sounds like some kind of puzzle game.
Oh, well, I will say you're in the neighborhood.
90s puzzle game. Okay, so here comes our three questions, right? So this is the way we play it
this
now.
The
so
rules.
I get to ask three questions,
three
right?
Three questions. Yep, that's all you get.
Okay, is it, are there any characters or are there only shapes? Like, are they human characters or some type of human or animal characters?
I will say okay, that's a good way of looking at it. Non-human, non-animal.
Okay.
Oh, we got someone in the chat who got it.
Is there, right, is it...
Don't look at him.
Is it some kind of, would you call it kind of like a tennis kind of game?
No, I would not call
like
it tennis.
Like in the vein of like Pong type tennis, like table tennis.
I would say no to that to that question. You have one question left.
I have one question remaining.
And as a reminder, your first question's answer was you're in the right neighborhood.
Right. Oh, it's in the right neighborhood. Okay. Does it have to do with gentrification? No.
The right neighborhood. Yeah. That's the one. Nicely done. That was pretty good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I definitely feel like it's a match three kind of thing or something.
Oh,
or
my gosh. You're so in the zone here.
I don't know what it is though. I can imagine. I could see like little colorful blocks and stuff bounce. You can just tell from the audio that's what it sounds like. It's some kind of like puzzly type game. 90 Sega Genesis. I'm gonna go with Mr. Pooh's Bean Machine.
Let me see. Is it Mr. Pooh's Bean Machine? Wait, Mr. Pooh's Bean Machine? Incorrect. The answer is Klax. K-L-A-X.
Ah, Klax.
Klax.
Yes, of course, Klax.
Yeah,
of
that was an arcade Klax. Game, but it was also on console. And the one I played
now, is that 2X
then,
or 1X? What is
1X,
Klax?
I believe.
Am I spelled wrong? Okay.
Right. K-L-A-X.
I'm trying to look it up now.
K-L-A-X sounds like coming up on K-A-L-X 1140.
K-L-A-L-X. Oh, this almost... Oh, yeah, I remember this. Oh, yeah.
You remember this? You had to stack them.
Oh,
and get three
yeah.
It was great. I like Klax a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I played a ton of it.
I forgot about the little icon with the pink hand and the little gnarly thing.
Feels like it should have made a comeback by now, but nobody's making Klax.
I totally forgot about this game. Are those... It always reminded me of little Pez pieces, too, like...
But nice job. Let's see. Skits 319 in the chat got it. Nicely done.
No, Skits get it. Good job, Skits.
Yeah, well done, Skits.
Look at you.
You
did Skits get it before or after my great guesses.
Before your last two questions. So he got it early. He did good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this. Let's go
1995.
With 1995.
You would have found this on your PC or Mac.
All right. Let's check it out.
I fixed your door.
Oh, my Lord.
It was sticky. Look, I don't want no trouble. Just leave me out of this mess. I don't have anything. Looks like you're out of customers. Yeah, your gang talk off with those well-dressed gentlemen. So what'll it be, Mac? Where'd everybody head off to? What am I, the cruise director? Maybe they're up on the Lido deck.
Oh! I think I know this.
You don't? No questions? It's going to jump straight to it?
All right, you know what? I'll use my questions. Hold on.
You know what might look better on your nose?
I know what this is, I think. All right, is this a point-and-click adventure?
Yes, point and click, baby.
Is it?
All right. I got your keys, but I don't know nothing.
LucasArts.
LucasArts, yes, baby.
Is it?
Was it designed by Tim Schafer?
Probably, because he did all that stuff back then. That
oh, you're asking me questions. Oh, I'm sorry.
My third question is. I don't have anything. Actually, that does help me. Is it Schafer? Tim Schafer?
Yeah, it is Tim Schafer. Yeah.
All right. I think this is. I'm not going to remember the name. Something.
Where'd everybody head off to?
Throttle. It's the motorcycle guy.
Right?
Hold on.
Skits has already nailed it in the chat room. So suck that. Skits got it right away on both of us. Skits wins.
Is that right then? It's Full Throttle.
Yeah, Full Throttle.
It is Full Throttle. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Full Throttle.
Who got it? Skits again? Jeez.
Skits again. Cross the top. Other people started getting it too, though.
Some kind of genius in Skits over
yes.
there.
Yes.
All right. I feel pretty good about that. I knew it must be. It sounded like an adventure game. The question was which one gets all gruff? And I was like,
I
the motorcycle one. The one where you got to pull it, you got to full throttle it. Oh, yeah. Full throttle. That's the one. All right. Nicely done, Tim Schafer. You always do well.
Welcome.
Hey. Look at this.
You have found my treasure.
I added that part.
Try this level now.
Yeah, I put a little extra in there. Oh, I don't know why that played. Anyway, time to do emails and texts and that kind of stuff. Today, we're actually going to play a call that we got at our hotline. That number is, we'll call it the Frog Pants Hotline. How about that? 801-471-0462, and it yielded this question or this comment about Myst and Riven. Enjoy.
Oh, okay.
Hey there, Mr. Scott and Brian Dunaway. This is a call for Play Retro. I listened to your Myst episode, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for covering Myst and Riven. I've got a lot of fond memories about it. Oh, this is the Murd in the chat, in the Deadpool, by the way. Some fun facts. It was possible to die in the game. I only found out because it required 16 kilobytes of RAM to run the game, and our home PC at the time only had 8, so I couldn't run the QuickTime video and interact with the game at the same time, and couldn't click into the final linking book. So again, when you're tired, shoot me in the head. A couple other points. Cyan is still going strong, like you guys discovered. They do have a game that they just announced today. It's getting released on May 18th called Firmament. You can back it on Kickstarter, and it looks awesome. Anyhow, love all the content, and thanks again for covering a long-preferred favorite of mine. I really enjoyed the episode. Catch you later.
Firmament.
Nice. Firmament.
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 So I didn't know about Firmament, so that was good.
I didn't either. Let's see how the Firmament game on the Kickstarter is doing. Let's see if it's already ran through. How many days do we have left? If not, is fully funded according to there. It was last updated March the 8th. So just since the last episode, it has
been. How much funding. They get? What'd they get?
Let's see. With a pledge of $1,433,000+ to bring this project with 18,000. Plus backers.
Nice. That's good.
Yes.
I like them. So happy to hear that. Yeah. Also, I did not know about that thing at the end there. I had no idea.
I didn't. And that, I didn't catch their name. They said they were in the Tadpool.
It was like menstrual, something like that.
I couldn't hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't hear it very well. But I do want to say this. So every time, this is something I've noticed, and this is no shade, but when I play a call on the show,
Right.
I do this on all kinds of shows. The morning show. I play calls on every show. My favorite place to play them is here, and let me tell you why. Because Brian is so damn interactive. It's like, I want to see a movie with you in a theater to see if you do this there. But while the call's going, it'll just be going, like, here, I'll do an impression. Let me turn it down a little bit. Okay, so here's my impression.
Hey there, Mr. Scott and Brian Dunaway. Oh. This is a call for Play Retro.
I listened
to your missed episode.
I love that. I think that's freaking great.
It's too true.
I love it. I think it's funny, and it's just like you are engaged full time. You're ready to go. I think it's so funny. Anyway,
it helps me listen. I don't know why I do it.
Nothing wrong with it. There's not, again, no shade at all. I think it's a fun aspect to your personality that I don't get from other people.
Could put that in my AI program.
That's right. Take that, AI program. Oh, speaking of which, we also, well, these weren't AI generated. These are real. We got a couple of texts. This one from someone who says was listening to Monday's show. These also came to the same number, by the way, 801-471-0462. Just wanted to say that the missed course for the VR game Walkabout Mini Golf is great and should be picked up by any Myst fans. I didn't know they put that in there. That sounds rad.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to check that out because I have that game on my Quest. I just haven't tried it.
Have not picked it up yet. Is it good?
I've heard nothing but fun things about Walkabout Golf. I've heard nothing but good. So you probably have a blast with it. It's supposed to be the best fun you'll have with your friends playing golf ever, which is a low bar for me because I don't like golf. I like video game golf. I don't like real golf, but I love video game golf.
Right.
Real golf costs too much. And takes way too much time and is a sweaty mess on a Saturday. No offense or shade to anyone who loves it. All right. I'm not saying you shouldn't go for it. Like a lot of sports that I wouldn't play in real life, I love them on video games. So that sounds like one to me. Jeff M. also wrote in. This is Mouse Divided.
Oh, that's a good name.
Says, for Play Retro, I meant to get this in for the missed episode. The numbering system in Riven will always hold a special place in my heart. As a teenager, I knew math and was something I enjoyed, and I was able to decipher the numbering system in Riven fairly easily. 23 years later, when I finally decided to get my master's in math, I realized that number system is a base 25 system, much like the binary is base 2. It was fun to look back and apply what I had learned to something from my childhood, says Jeff.
Oh, that is awesome. Look at you, math whiz. I love that, dude.
That's so great. That's freaking great.
And you said, and they thought you would never use math.
Yeah, those lying sacks.
Yeah. It's not like you're going to walk around with a calculator in your pocket all the time.
I guess if you're getting a master's in math, you will definitely use math.
But
anyway, Jeff, that's a super rad story. Thank you for sharing that with us. If you'd like to share one of your stories or thoughts or questions or comments, you can use that number, 801-471-0462. That'll let you do voicemails if you'd like, or text if you'd rather. You can also email us at playretroshow@gmail.com. Our next discussion will be our top picks from the PlayStation 1 Classic on PlayStation Plus. PlayStation Plus, that doesn't count. Those aren't all on Plus, are they? Or are they?
Oh, yes, they are. These PS1 classics are on PlayStation Plus, but you got to get the highest tier, is like $17.99 a month, which I did today. And they just announced some new ones just a couple of hours ago. And not only do they have the Ape Escape already on there, they're also adding Ape Escape 2, some of my favorite games. So guess what? You may be hearing about that. But here's some of the few that's on there. Hot Shots Golf. The IQ Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, we've talked about that one, Oddworld, Abe's Exodus, Resident Evil. We might not talk about all those. We're going to pick our favorites off the PS Plus because I want to explore, and I think, Scott, have you explored all the options for software service? Because I haven't looked at the PS Plus in forever.
I have. The only downside of this, the level you're talking about, the highest level of PlayStation Plus, and they all have weird names, and I never remember them because there's Plus, there's Plus Extra. There's Plus Premium.
Plus like a boss.
What about like a boss? That one, the expensive one, where you get all these classic games.
Yeah.
Just know going in, you and anyone listening, they're streamed. These are not installed on your machine. They're not being emulated in real time. You're playing these on a stream.
Which is kind of like AntStream, which we'll probably talk about eventually. Some of you guys may be familiar with that. It's also a streaming service. But the good news is you don't have to have a PS4, even though I do. And I'm going to do it on my PS4. I'm going to do it on my PC as well.
Yeah, you can do it in a few places. PlayStation 5, I had this for a while. I got rid of it because it didn't. The top tier just didn't give me enough. Yeah. I think the middle tier is a good value, but the top tier is just a little weird.
I'm trying to get into the head of some of these, how other people are retro gaming, because I'll admit I've gotten snobbish.
Yeah, you're snob.
my retro gaming is like, well, if I can't play it on my Mr. FPGA, I just don't want to play it.
Yeah, it's so not for me.
I need to knock myself down a couple of notches and go, let's see what else is out there.
Sure. I keep hearing that Series X is a really, really great and easy to configure retro machine.
I actually did that this past year.
I need to do that, I think.
It wasn't too bad. The hardest part was getting the developer's license. Bullcrap. Doing that's a pain.
Yeah, it is a pain. You're not wrong about that. Well, anyway, that's coming up. That'll be next week. And, we want to hear your opinions. What do you like in that collection of the PlayStation 1 Classic? And do you still play your PlayStation Classic? Do you plug it in? Do you hit start? Did you hack it like we did?
Because we hacked ours. I hacked mine.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the hacking around it as well. Anyway, that'll be next week. Big thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon, patreon.com/playretro. Where you help support this show so it can continue to be a show. It don't exist without your help, for real. We need you over there. So go over there now, patreon.com/playretro, and throw us a little cash. That would be nice of you. Thank you. And everyone who already has, you're awesome as well. We didn't get a new one this week, which tells me one of you out there's got an itchy trigger finger. You just need to pull it. Pull it!
Do it.
Pull it! All right. That's going to do it for us. Big thanks, everybody, for listening. Go play something retro. We'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I have a job.